From Genesis chapter 27, verse 1 to 13. Please turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he can no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Let me ask you a question. In a game, in a race, what is more important, the start or the finish? What is more important, the start or the finish in a race? I'm sure all of you know the answer. Yell it out. The finish. Yeah, everyone know that. Remember last Super Bowl, which actually happened in February of this year? New England Patriots and Atlanta Falcons was competing for the title. In the beginning, Atlantic Falcons was leading 28-3 at one time. 28-3. However, towards the end of the game, New England Patriots come back and defeat the Falcons 32-28. Apparently, this is the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. So who won? Patriots or Falcons? Patriots, because they finished winning. Today's sermon title, From Hero to Zero, refers to a patriot Isaac. Isaac is the one that he started off well, yet failed miserably towards his old age. And hence this title, From Hero to Zero. Through this person, Isaac, we learn some spiritual principle. Isaac failed because he followed his senses, not his calling. Because he just focused on his senses and not on his relationship, on his spiritual life, and following God's will, following God's calling, and in the end, he lost. I think it gives us a valuable lesson to all of us. Whether you are in a university education, some of you will be going into university for the first time soon. You start off a program, you get good grade, you enter in the program. But if you do not keep the end goal in mind, and you just, oh, university life, freedom, wildlife, partying, then you lose. Some of you maybe use this to apply to a marriage. At a wedding ceremony, you know, everything is great. It started off with honeymoon. Love one another. Emotions are high and deep. Commitment is deep. Yet, if you do not nurture this relationship, and if you do not focus, and if you just take out of this relationship what is only good for you, focus on your senses, then you lose in the end. And similar for life. As a pastor, I worry about the issue of finishing well. I want to finish well, but I know that it is not easy. Same for you, all of you. You may be a very devout Christian, but at the age, after your retirement, how do you consider still continue to nurture this spiritual life? Or you think that, yes, oh, I have worked hard enough. I'll just be relaxed. I just indulge myself. So we all need to learn and try not to be from hero to zero. As for this main character, Isaac, he started off as a faith hero. At his birth, he is just the miracle child. He was born when his father was 100 years old. He's a child of promise. At youth, we talk about in chapter 22, when Abraham was tested by God, you know, God said, Abraham, you know, I want to take your son, your only son, the one you love, and sacrifice for me as a burnt offering. Abraham responded in obedience. And we saw that Isaac also participated in some way, because he is the one who carried the firewood to Mount Moriah. So we say that this child have served his father in obedience and also participate in this Abraham's that ultimate test of faith. So he must learn from the greatest father of faith. An adult, he received Rebecca as wife, and we said that this is a marriage, where marriage in heaven. In faith, he prayed for her, for his barren wife, Rebecca. Pray that she would have children. And in faith, God, he prayed in faith and God granted. And so he see that God is a faithful God. God protect him all his life. From childhood, from infants to adulthood, Isaac was a hero of faith. Yet at his old age, he did not go from strength to strength. Instead, he gave into sensual pleasure and self-indulgence. His moral and spiritual character deteriorated. And one hint is, before this chapter, in chapter 25, verse 28, it says, The narrator says, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac, who had a taste for wild games, he just loved to eat. I'm not saying that eating is not good, but the Bible narrator defined Isaac's closing years as he is just a man who lived to eat, enjoy, indulge in his taste. So let us look at this, the scripture today, chapter 27, verse 1 to 4. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could not no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, My son, here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, go get your weapons and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Well, you have to know this, the significance of this action. This action is the patriarch, Isaac, is going to pass on the blessings from one generation to the next. And usually in olden time, this is a public blessing, a public declaration. Because the person blessed usually is the firstborn, and he will take on the responsibility of the patriarch of the whole tribe. He will lead the rest of the family from then on. Usually it's a public declaration. But here we see that this is done in private. He says, come here, do this, and then I'll bless you. Didn't even consult his wife. Why? Because spiritual discernment should direct Isaac to bless Jacob instead of Esau. Even though Jacob is not the firstborn, they are the twin brothers. You remember the story? The twin brothers. It's just Esau come out first, a few seconds ahead. But Isaac should know that God wants Jacob to be blessed as the one who lead the family. He is the promised blessing, line of blessings up to Jesus Christ. God wanted Jacob to be dominant. In an oracle, when Rebekah was pregnant with the two twin boys, and they were fighting already in the womb. And then Rebekah asked God, what does that mean? How come the babies are fighting? And then God gave Rebekah an oracle. He says, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. So right before they birth, God already revealed to Rebekah that the older will serve the younger. Isaac should know. For sure, Rebekah would tell this important oracle to her husband. Another thing that Isaac should know, Esau is not fit to lead, is because Esau despised his birthright. Remember that story? That, you know, he come, finished hunting, and then Jacob intentionally cooked a bowl of soup, and he said, give me something, I'm dying out of thirst and hunger. And then Jacob said, you know, sell me your birthright. And then Esau said, okay, you know, I'm going to die anyway. Of course, he's exaggerating. So what's this one bowl of soup, you know? And so I can sell it to you. Jacob said, no, 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 swear it first. Okay, swear. I sell it to you. Give me a bowl of soup. And the Bible said he despised his birthright. He despised the position of his birth. And he despised the calling, the position of being the leader of the family. So, and then, so he despised his birthright. And then also another thing that Esau did that is not spiritual, it is against his father and against the faith, is Esau married pagan wives in Canaan, land of Canaan. Just before chapter 27, the last two verses in chapter 26 says, when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were the source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. So Esau don't have the spiritual discernment, and he just married any Canaanite woman she wants. Remember how Abraham took so much trouble to send his servant, says, I don't want my son Isaac to marry the local girls. I want you to go in a 3 months journey to go to my ancestral homeland to bring me back a wife for Isaac. Remember that story? Yeah. But Esau doesn't care. He doesn't think about the purity of God's descendants. And it becomes a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And yet, Isaac continue intentionally wants to bless this firstborn son. Why? The scripture says, because he liked his wild game. The taste distorted Isaac's spiritual discernment. And then we see from verse 5 to 17, we heard it was read up to 13, that Rebecca heard this, overheard this. You know, it was a plan done in secret, but Isaac's wife, Rebecca, heard it. Overheard it, and he tells, encourage his son, another son, Jacob, to do a scheme. And then in verse 14, so Jacob went and got them and brought those young goats to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which he had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hand and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skin. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. So Isaac wants to beat the system by blessing his older son in secret. It's a deception met with another deception. His wife overheard it and tried to overrule this deception. We see here that the signs of this Isaac's family at the old age have all the signs of a dysfunctional family. It's a family who do not communicate with one another, do not share their concerns. It's a family who just play straight out favoritism. One parent loved this son, one parent loved that son. And Rebecca encouraged Jacob to cheat his father. So is Jacob a saint? No, Jacob was, he just said, Jacob said, no, I don't want to do that. It's not because it's just wrong. Oh, cheating my father is wrong. No, Jacob object to do this. It's not that it is wrong to cheat. Jacob object to this is because I will be caught. He have no qualms, no problem, no objection to the moral principle. Just cheat father to get blessing. Okay, great. But how to do it without being caught? That's what is his concern. So, let us be reminded, the Bible here is not putting Jacob on a pedestal, endorsing cheating of your parents. As a matter of fact, if you look at the development of this story, the Bible clearly says that there are serious consequences of cheating for sinning. In Rebecca's case, what she suffered eventually was a broken family. The Bible never says any incidents that Esau ever spoke to her, his mother, again. He just lost his son, her son. And Jacob, after cheating his father, he was repeatedly cheated later on by his uncle Laban. And Jacob, at his old age, was cheated by his many sons. The sons jealous of his favorite son Joseph and sell him to as slaves to Egypt, and then come back and cheat his father and say, Joseph was eaten by wild animals. Here, they see this coat stained with blood. And so this is a family of deception. And then later on, as we see the story develop in verse 18, he went to his father. So after getting the food, Jacob went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you did, told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless, give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. See, he was using God's name, blaspheming God's name for a lie, as a lie. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so that I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy, like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mothers bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. Here we see how the blind Isaac was deceived. But Isaac's blindness is not just physical. Isaac's blindness is also very much spiritual. Because here Isaac was being guided by his senses, the touch, the taste, the smell. His decision was made not because of his spirit. He was guided by his touching, taste, and smell. He touched his Jacob's hand, hairy. He tastes the food, and then he smells the clothing, and he says, "This is my son Esau." By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, though he intended to be blessing Esau. How do you make decision? Do you make your decision by the counsel of the Holy Spirit, by the truth, by God's word? Or do you make decision by your senses? What is what you really want? How do you choose your future career, your university studies? Is that just by how much you pay? How do you choose your spouse? Last Friday in our Life Fellowship, we watched a movie called Marriage by Design, by God's Design. And they talk about how some people choose their spouse because of the good look, because of the prosperity, the wealth. How do you make decision? Do you pray about it? Do you make decision according to God's guidance, his word? God is sovereign. He can work through even wrongful intent. From this story, he says, you know, Isaac once have every intention of blessing Esau, but God turned it around. God is always in control. Another example, remember when Jesus was performing all sorts of miracles and people all around following him. And then that caused jealousy and burden, you know, uneasiness among the Jewish leaders, you know. At that time, the Jewish leaders, including the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were given the authority to rule, to have influence of the Judean affair under the blessing of the Romans. And then you see this maverick rabbi who come and teach things, you know, and then criticize the authority. And then the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, they says, "What do we do about this Jesus?" Remember the story? And then the high priest Caiaphas at that time, he says, "No." He says, "You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people, that the whole country perish." You know what Caiaphas was saying? Because they are saying that this Jesus come to upset the system, to cause a disturbance to the status quo. And they worry that the Romans would come and take control of Judea again. So he says, it's better one person die. We'll kill this person so that peace and order will be maintained. Jesus will be the unfortunate collateral damage, but he will bring peace. So that's how the decisions of they tried to kill Jesus. Yet, by doing that, he's actually fulfilling God's plan of sending his son Jesus to die. So you'll never catch God by surprise. God is always in control. God understands. So how does the Bible evaluate the life of Isaac? In the New Testament, book of Hebrews still include Isaac in the roll call of faith. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to the future. But in the Old Testament, actually, you can see strong evidence that the narrator of the Bible strongly rebuke Isaac. In the book of Genesis, there are 10 books, 10 sections. Each section is guided by, this is the account of something. This is the account of so and so. 10 times it happened, okay? But when it says, this is the account of so and so, it is really talking about the descendants of so-and-so. For example, in Genesis 11:27, it says, this is the count of Terah. But what follows is really the whole story of Terah's son, Abraham. And then in Genesis 25:19, it says, this is the count of Abraham's son, Isaac. But what it follows is entirely dominantly the story of Jacob. So this is the account of Isaac's son. But if you look at Genesis, there is nothing about this is the account of Abraham, meaning Jacob. That means compromised faith leads to a loss of leadership. And also another strong indication is after this episode, Isaac and Rebekah died without giving a memorial. Instead, Rebekah's nurse, you know, the one who nursed Rebekah when she was a child, she was given by Laban. She says, okay, I'll send you, give you Rebekah, and I also give Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, to take care, to go with your family. And in Genesis 35, verse 8, it says, now Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Allon Bakar, meaning weeping willow. Imagine, Rebecca's nurse was given a memorial, but neither Isaac and Rebekah was given a memorial. You see, in Hebrew, Isaac was defined by how he blessed Jacob and Esau. Even though he was blessing with the wrong intention. So, Isaac's life was defined by how he blessed. But we know that how he blessed was an irony. How is your life defined? What defines your life? Is it a life defined by sensual? Nowadays, as I'm in the 60s, and I watch out for advertisements that talk about the seniors. TD Bank have an advertisement that says, oh, invest, place money in our bank, and then when you retire, you have to do golfing, you do cruises, you know, all these things, you know. Seems like it's suggesting your life goal, your ends, is so that you play golf, you you go to cruises, you eat and drink all you want. Don't have to report to work. Eat, drink, and be merry. Is that what life is all about? Are we allowing society, the culture, dictates what our life should be? For students entering university, is your life defined by how much drinking you can do, how much drugs you can take, how much partying you can do all night? For married men, a lot of married men, when they go to the midlife, you experience a thing called midlife crisis. That's the time when they want excitement in their life, and a lot of them fail by engaging in extramarital affairs. Today's lesson is that don't let your senses take control of who you are. You may start off as a good faith hero, but if you let your senses control you, define you, you will end up from hero to zero. Instead, who should be followed if we don't follow Isaac? We should follow the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, towards his end of his life, he wrote to Timothy, he says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." This is our goal. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to finish strong and to finish well. Some of us are in the retirement age. Help us to never let go of our initial calling, our first love to you. Help us not to indulge and to be controlled by our senses, and continue to grow as you call us to be. For young people, we face a lot of temptations. Help our young people to hide your word in their heart so that they will not sin against you. Help us not to say that, "Oh, I have been good enough for a long time, so just relax, indulge, and do some sinful pleasure." Help us to be alert and not to descend from hero to zero. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.